To Gadars. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Our website is democracynow.org. Thanks so much.
KBOO Portland, good morning. It's 7:59. Coming up, Voices from the Edge. Joanne Hardesty discusses Portland Mayor Charlie Hale's proposed police contract. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, celebrating the holidays with handmade gifts created by artists from the Pacific Northwest every weekend, now through Christmas Eve in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, PortlandSaturdayMarket.com. This is KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Full Gallop, produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs through Saturday, October 8th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. Full Gallop is a portrait of Diana Vreeland, who stood at the center of American style for 5 decades. As editor of Harper's Bazaar and Vogue magazines, and as a member of the International Cafe Society, she chronicled the extraordinary people and events of her time. This play is a portrait of Vreeland at a turning point in her life. Again, that's Full Gallop, now through October 8th, at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hello, KBOO members. Thank you for being part of our amazing community. It takes all of us to manage this great community resource, and the role played by the KBOO Board of Directors is essential. Please consider applying to become a KBOO board member if you want to help serve our community and put your gifts and talents to good use. There is a time commitment of about 15 hours a month for all board members, and you must be a current KBOO member. To apply, go to kboo.fm/2016 Board of Directors or stop by the station and pick up a paper copy. The deadline to apply is October 15th. We are looking for folks who love KBOO, who are committed to our community, and want to carry forward KBOO's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. KBOO needs you. Apply today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Real Cool Film Series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, Space is the Place, showing Thursday, October 20th at 7 p.m. Space is the Place is an Afrofuturist science fiction classic film released in 1974. Sun Ra, space age prophet, philosopher and Afro jazz bandleader, lands his spaceship in Oakland, expanding the cosmic consciousness of African Americans. Again, that's Space is the Place, Thursday, October 20th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of your homepage under Community Events. Thank you.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. It is my pleasure to have in the studio with me National Lawyers Guild's lawyer and superhero, Ashley Albies. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me, Joanne.
It is a pleasure, and we're going to be talking about the proposed new contract for Portland Police Association as introduced by Mayor Charlie Hales. There were many of us at City Hall yesterday anticipating an opportunity to weigh in on the amendments that were proposed last Wednesday afternoon to the mayor's proposed contract. I want to reiterate, there's absolutely no reason why the current mayor should be negotiating the police union contract, which doesn't expire until July 1st, 2017. And we have a new police commissioner slash mayor taking office on January 1st, 2017. The mayor seems to want us to believe that the reason to push this through is that we have a lack of police officers. But if you were at City Hall yesterday, you saw that there were at least 60 police officers that stood around doing nothing in riot gear for 3 hours from about 10 a.m. until well after 1 p.m. This alleged lockdown at City Hall because people may create a disturbance was really created by the city council's unwillingness to hear from the public about this important public policy issue. And so, Ashley, as a member of the NLG, you're one of the groups that were called in by the mayor after last Wednesday's meeting to have a one-on-one. What was that conversation like?
That conversation, the mayor and his staff and members of the city government were, their argument to us was very strongly that there's a public safety issue created by a shortage of police officers, and that is creating public safety concerns. And he talked about the number of deaths, traffic-related deaths, gang-related shootings, and talked about that public safety issue because of the lack of officers. It's my understanding that crime has not increased in the past year. Mayor Hale's position was that many community members are calling for more police officers. They want more cops on the street. They want more officers on the beat. And that's not what I've heard. And right. I would, but that's not to say I've heard from every member of the community. Right, that's not right. my role. My right. role is an advocate. The community members that I've heard from that do want more police also want more accountability. Mm-hmm. I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. Right. It feels as if the city's trying to pit those two concepts against each other, and they That's are right. not exclusive of each other.
Right.
In terms of the collective bargaining agreement, his argument of why it had to be bargained now mid-contract was because of these lack of officers and this public safety issue that will arise that has not yet arisen, at least according to the statistics on crime rates and things like that. I think many community groups, including the AMA Coalition, the NAACP, the NLG, ACLU, have weighed in on the terms of the collective bargaining agreement that the community sees as a barrier to true accountability and oversight, specifically the role of IPR in investigating use of deadly force cases,
right.
The ability to compel officer testimony in the course of their investigations to have truly effective oversight. There are provisions in the collective bargaining agreement that prohibit IPR from exercising that kind of control over these issues. And the community has long been advocating for removal of those provisions or addressing of those provisions. And we have the DOJ settlement agreement against the city of Portland, which was based on a finding of excessive force, a pattern or practice of excessive force against people with mental health issues. And there was a comprehensive settlement agreement proposed and agreed to by the city to address that.
Right.
And in that agreement, there includes a provision that calls on the city to revamp its what they call Byzantine accountability system.
Right.
So none of this is news to Mayor Hales when he was bargaining this most recent round in behind closed doors.
Right.
And so his position I find somewhat uncredible that this is a surprise to him, that there is community pushback and that he didn't know what he should be bargaining for. He hasn't said right. he didn't know that. He just has basically said that he didn't ask for the changes that the community has been demanding for years. And then that's a concern.
And that's only the second contract. The reason I think the public is so frustrated is when Mayor Hales took office, his first order of business was to negotiate the Portland Police Association contract. And it's amazing to me that he never brought up the 48-hour rule, even though we had given him a list, the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform had given him a list of critical issues that were impacting our ability to hold police accountable. And it was the most ludicrous negotiation because when he came back to report back after he had already inked the deal and questioned, well, what about the 48-hour rule? His response was, well, I didn't bring that up. They wouldn't go for that.
Right.
And so what we have is a police union, which all unions should ask for the moon because that's their job. Their job is to protect their workers. Their job is to get as much as they can. So I'm never, ever mad at a labor union that asks for the sky. But I am furious at policymakers who know we have a settlement agreement that that demands more accountability and really spells out what accountability looks like. And then we have a mayor who doesn't need to negotiate a contract, going behind closed doors and actually making it harder to hold police accountable. And in fact, the next mayor's hands would be tied for 4 years, as would the communities, in actually getting that accountability. Now, this sell job about how desperate we are to have more cops was really negated yesterday when we saw Homeland Security, TriMet, and a plethora of Portland police officers standing around City Hall doing absolutely nothing in riot gear. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were more police than there were public that were there to testify. And it would have taken a half hour to allow all the public that was there to testify. And so it was a show of force, and it was a show of intimidation to the public, and it backfired. But the media spin is that there was a riot-like conditions, mm-hmm. right? And they must have gotten that from City Hall, because it certainly, I was there the entire time and that didn't happen. And so supposedly today at 1 o'clock, the council will have this item on the agenda again. I'm unclear whether or not the people who showed up yesterday to testify will be able to, because there was no sign-in sheet yesterday for anybody to sign up, which is what made people annoyed. And so I'm not sure whether or not people will have access. But my expectation is, I was there yesterday to testify. I was prevented from testifying. I expect to testify today. And if not, I might need an NLG lawyer to show up. The number to call if you want to join the conversation: were you at City Hall yesterday? Were you trying to testify? If so, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And so, Ashley, what is the what options do we, the public, have as we continue, as the mayor continues to push this totally inadequate contract? What's our redress?
That's a good question. So, I mean, the community that has been pushing for police reform and police stronger police oversight in the city has been using the channels of meeting with members of City Council, writing letters, making our position quite clear. The AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform has enhanced amicus status in this pending litigation involving the Federal Department of Justice and the city. And so the AMA Coalition is using that position to push for additional changes, as they've agreed to do in this collaborative agreement that the AMA Coalition negotiated along with the Department of Justice and the city, which led to the AMA withdrawing its objections, its specific objections to this settlement agreement, and agreed to support the provisions that it did support. So the AMA's position in this, and the organizations that work in conjunction with the AMA in pushing for these changes to the collective bargaining agreement, this is part of that agreement of the AMA acting consistent with its role as amicus, enhanced amicus, and its role in pushing for those changes that are necessary to make this more effective. The broader public needs to reach out to Mayor Hales and the commissioners and have their voices heard. This is supposed to be a governance for the people, or by the people, for the people. It's for some of the people, by some of the people, yes. At this point, and folks who feel really passionate about this need to educate themselves about mm-hmm. what's going on here and contact their representatives in City Council and let them know how they want them to vote.
I think that's an excellent idea, and it's really important that they hear from you today. So, and there's a great number. You can call one number and get everybody, right? If you call 503-823-4000, that's the City County Information Line, and they will connect you to the mayor's office and all the commissioner's offices. One-stop shop. It is really important they hear from you. And it's important, actually, I think the mayor has his ears clogged. I think it's more important that the other four commissioners hear from you, because the mayor was in the room with the negotiators. He had the opportunity to do the right thing by the people, for the people of the city of Portland. And if you look at the wins and losses in this contract, so the mayor mayor won the elimination of 8 lawsuits, but Portland police always sue each other, and next week there'll be new lawsuits that Portland police officers file. So that wasn't a win for the public. That was a win for the mayor. And the mayor did away with the 48-hour rule while he at the same time created a loophole that would be significantly longer than 48 hours with the body cams. And so if you're telling police officers, and this is in quotes, that they will have a reasonable amount of time without defining what's reasonable. Is a week reasonable? Is a month reasonable? Is a year reasonable? We are still waiting for the Tigru case. That is a perfect example of the incompetence of our accountability system. When a 17-year-old student can be charged with attempted murder of 2 police officers, be acquitted, and those 2 police officers are still walking the streets in North Portland, and there's been no discipline, no accountability, even though we're told that there was an investigation. It keeps sitting on chief's desk, I understand. It was on O'Day's desk. Now it's on Chief Marshman's desk. So, but the public is watching that and waiting for a result. Mm-hmm. We have a caller on the line. Good morning, Eric. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have a thought, and it relates to the public employees and their contracts and everything else. The post office was required to pre-fund their retirement accounts, 25 years in advance?
Right.
Just to run them out of business.
Yep,
And they got even better. They got so better that they pretty much now beat the private groups like the UPS and the FedEx.
True that.
Now, that's pretty much the cause of underfunding of the, and it causes a polarization between the young and the old, as you see in underfunded education and then student debt. Okay. We're the only country to have student debt. So instead of fighting the unions like that, why not just require them to go the way of the post office? And if you attack the third rail that you can't talk about, because everybody's entitled to some kind of entitlement of retirement. You know, the police state is basically reinforced to protect the privilege. Right. That's anybody already on disability or getting some kind of money for not working.
Right.
So you have to attack that third rail and bring that to the forefront. Right. You know, that I don't mean to, I'm not trying to get onto that Measure 97 or whatever they're advertising on TV. But basically, the first thing that has to be protected and the first liability that every government has is to protect, let's say, retirement money, Social Security, and the retirement funds. And that's what drains everything. That's the first thing that they have to pay off.
Actually, that's not true with the police. You know who pays the police retirement? Homeowners. So
that's true. I mean, property taxes do go up because basically we have to pay for, constantly keep paying for schools.
And if you look at your tax bill, there's a line item that shows police retirement. You pay that every time you pay your property tax bill. So our taxes are not paying it. It is homeowners who are paying police retirements. So these pay raises that we're about to give 3% a year for the next 3 years will be paid by homeowners who are now struggling to actually pay their mortgages and their responsibilities. So I appreciate what you say, but you should check that. Look at your home. If you are a homeowner, look at that tax bill. It is a line item. We're pretty much one of the few states that don't have we won't put them in PERS because, oh, heaven forbid, they act like normal public employees, right? No, they have their own special system, and that's the problem. We cannot continue to reinforce a two-class system in this community. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Anybody else want to join the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And so Ashley, you pointed out a really important provision that, though not in the contract, is actually the policy by which this contract will be judged. And would you share with us what that piece is? Because the more I read, the more concerned I become that this is a woefully inadequate contract and goes just the opposite of what we've been fighting for the last decade, which is a police force that is accountable to the people that they're supposed to protect and serve.
Right. So in the proposed ordinance, attached to it is the framework of the tentative agreement that the city and the PPA have agreed to regarding clarification of policies in the collective bargaining agreement. And in that provision, it states that for investigations other than those involving use of deadly force and incidents of in-custody death, prior to the internal affairs, IPR, or EEO interview, the officer will be afforded a reasonable opportunity to review the officer's police reports and body camera, audio video, and other audio video that the officer reviewed at the time they wrote their report. And there's a note that deadly force incidents and in-custody death and audio video review is to be set forth in Directive 10-10-10, which is investigations into deadly force incidents and in-custody deaths. There is a provision also that notes that this Directive 10-10-10 that governs deadly force and in-custody death audio video review and the proposed body-worn camera policy is subject to mandatory bargaining. And under state law, and the caveat being I'm not a labor lawyer, but this under state law, we've done some research, and the NLG has provided that legal research to the city. One of my colleagues, Kristen Chambers, brilliant attorney, wrote an excellent law review article back in 2013 when this was an issue, looking at the issues of permissive versus mandatory bargaining in the context of IPR,
right.
Compelling testimony, that issue. And the conclusion that we reached in looking at the current state of the law is that when the officers get to review body camera footage of an incident, whether in force, in custody death, deadly force, or not, use of a taser, the city's position right now is that when the officers get to review that, whether it's before their interview or after their interview, that is subject to mandatory bargaining agreement. Based on the NLG's review of state labor law and where the Employment Relations Board has issued rulings on issues related to investigations of employee misconduct, potential employee misconduct, when those officers get to review that footage should not be subject to mandatory bargaining. That is, our position is the city can say, police officers, you don't get to review video of an incident before you get interviewed. The purpose of these interviews is to get the employee's recollection, the employee's statement on what happened, their best recollection, because that's an investigation.
That's right.
You know, if somebody, most employees, almost all employees, except for in this situation with Portland police officers, do not get to review footage of an incident before they are subjected to an interview. They get to have a union member present. They get their attorney present in some cases, and we have no objection to that as being subject to mandatory bargaining. But the issue is that the city should be able to say, without mandatory bargaining, without having to get the PPA's approval, because if I'm the PPA, I'm not going to approve and agree to not allow the officers to review that footage either.
Right.
But the city has the obligation, I think, to the community here who's pushing for effective oversight to say you don't get to review footage before reviewing those, being subjected to an investigation and giving a statement about a particularly high-level incident.
So what I'm most troubled by is that even though the body cam ordinance has been taken away, if this contract is approved, this becomes the standard under which any policy will be developed. So when I kept asking the city council, why would you delegate the responsibility for developing a public policy to the police bureau? That's the answer, because you've already bargained away the public's right to actually hold police accountable. And so that's why the mayor is delegating it to the police bureau. And that's why this contract cannot be accepted, because we will be stuck with this policy. And if the 48-hour rule is any indication, it took how many decades to get rid of the 48-hour rule? How many decades do you think it would take us to get rid of a policy that allows police to review video before they're investigated.
Right. And the problem is the policy has not been set.
Right.
And so the policy could conceivably say officers do not get to go and be to review that video footage. And that would be consistent with best practices, right, recommendations of the Department of Justice, right, recommendations of oversight agencies.
Yes.
But the problem is that it's not set in stone,
right,
and requiring the PPA to engage in mandatory bargaining over it almost encourages and guarantees that it will not,
right,
be implemented in a,
exactly,
way that increases oversight.
Right, right. And so if you're talking for an accountability system, and again, it's like this is not an emergency. The contract that we currently have could be extended if the next mayor needed more time. And I think we still, from this mayor, don't have a vision of what an accountable police force looks like.
Mm-hmm.
All we are doing is saying, give them more money, more money, more money, and that will somehow fix the systemic problems. We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, Zach. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be on your show today.
Well, thank you. Happy to have
you. Yes, I wanted to make a comment regarding the entirety of how we view policing and the fact that we get bogged down with details of union contracts and all the rest, and with the mission of, quote-unquote, to protect and serve.
Mm-hmm.
Police and any governing institutional body of enforcement or legislature is always going to be behooven to the power that they possess, and everyone knows that power will never concede itself. So I don't think that there's any way, unless we change the way that people think about policing, unless it becomes more of a proactive and community-based institution rather than something that comes from taxpayer dollars or the retirement from the homeowners insurance and the general fund. I personally do not believe that there will ever be anything that will be in the best interest of regular people, regular citizens like you and me. And I believe this to be true because I served in the military for 10 years. I was in the combat unit, and I know that in situations where you're putting people up for review and say this person is a very decorated soldier or an officer or whatever you want to call them, the amount of money and training that goes into these people, it's less within the interest of the institution itself to point them out and say you're not supposed to do what you did. Now we're going to punish you. We're going to fine you. We're going to whatever you. They have their best interest financially. It's not worth a citizen's life for them to kick a police officer or to change the way policing works in this community or around the United States.
So, Zach, I have a couple of examples that prove that you're wrong. An organized community can make changes. For example, prior to the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, 1,000 Portland police officers never had evaluations. We fought and fought and fought because we thought it was ludicrous for an employer with over 1,000 employees to actually never provide evaluations. So that's one. Number two, drug testing. We have fought for well over a decade to have drug testing as part of Portland Police Association's contract. Guess what? It's in it. Is it the best policy? No. Is the evaluation the best policy? No. Would it have ever come up had the public not pushed and pushed and pushed? No. And so, again, if we don't bring these topics up, all you hear is the powers that be story. And right now, Mayor Harrell's story is we're in desperate need of police. I say we're in desperate need of good police officers that are a model of community policing and have excelled in policing in diverse communities and treat people with respect and dignity. We don't just need people in uniform. We need people that actually model what it is we want in community police officers. And so if we don't push, then that just means we just give up and we go home and we get what we get. I'm not willing to do that. Not as long as I have a breath left in my body.
May I respond? I know that
you may, but it has to be short, sweet, and to the point.
No problem. I am completely on understanding what you're saying. I am going to say that I agree to disagree.
Okay.
That police will always serve their own interests, never will serve the interests of community because it is an institution of power
yes.
and authority that that is centralized in a single nucleus, and it is revolving, and the monopoly of violence and the ability to implement lethality and fatalities without, even with there being some form of reform or evaluation or whatever, and yes, and that's not the best policies, it's not the best, but it's what it is what it is. I refuse to allow that, and I'm not saying don't do your work. I'm saying me personally,
right.
And I know that there's others as well that also agree that that isn't enough.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know what, yet. Zach, I think you and I agree more than we disagree, right? And we all have work to do. So wherever you think your role in fixing what's broken, do that.
Shall do.
Thanks for the call. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Ashley, did you want to respond?
I can never say it better than you can. But, I agree with the caller that this is an institutional problem, and it's a fundamental problem with policing. And if you look back at the history of policing, it's understandable why the current policing structure and system and institutional racism exists within policing systems today. That said, you can either check out of that whole process, or you can continue to advocate for reforms that make it marginally better.
Yes.
And maybe it's rearranging the deck chairs. But whether you want the Titanic to sink or keep going, it's still the issue of what can you do with the limited power that we do have, and pushing for these changes can impact other people, can impact the next use of force incident, can impact accountability. Right. And I think I struggle with the same questions of whether to, devote the time that I do have to this reform efforts, mm-hmm. even when it feels like we're spinning our wheels and we're a hamster running on the city-placed wheel there. But the option is to not engage in that, or to resist in other ways is another option. And I think people, it's within that resistance, within people pushing back, is mm-hmm. where we find the meaning to keep going, to keep from losing hopeless, to keep from becoming hopeless in this whole struggle.
Well, and we've learned a lot since we invited the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division to the city. One of the big things that, at least I will speak for myself, I've learned is that they're a big part of the problem. They've created the policing agencies that we now expect them to hold accountable. We expect them to reform and to make better. And especially when I know that the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division is the division that defends police officers who kill unarmed people all across the country. And so, so we have to balance that. We know that I'm a big fan of inside-outside games. So some days I'm working inside, some days I'm outside with the protests, some days I'm working with the powers that be, some days I'm organizing against them. Some days all that happens in one day. But we just have to do what we can. We've got several callers lined up, so we're going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Deanna. Welcome to K-Boot.
Good morning, Joanne. Thank you. And I tuned in last week, and I was steaming after I listened to what you had to say. And even though I'm chuckling now, it's more about your good attitude about outside, inside. I wanted to say two things. One, I do agree with Zach. And two, I do agree with the comments that both of you just made, that in the meantime, mm-hmm. we have to do something, and we have to do it right now. My big question to you both really is, there was a lot of, I know you were trying to make it very clear, but with articles and mm-hmm. Provisions and all of these things, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to know exactly what to say when we call. My stance is there should be community policing, and that the police union shouldn't be considered a union as other unions are, because of the fact of lethality and the power that they have over mm-hmm. people to mm-hmm. take lives. However, that said, we have to look at a bargaining situation
That's
here,
right.
and it cannot include anything to do with that power that they currently have. Mm-hmm. How can we make a simple, clear call to the city council and the mayor's office, which I'm planning to do right after I hang up,
Wonderful.
To ask for exactly and specifically what we want? One thing I heard was extend the contract. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, actually, they don't even have to extend it, because it doesn't expire until July of next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so then don't sign a contract.
Right,
What is the call that we need to ask
so
for?
So I think the there are two major points. One is that there's no need to rush this contract. if we need to hire more police, maybe there's a reason people don't want to be Portland police officers, and just tossing money at it is not going to solve the problem of reforming Portland police. Now, the big thing, even if, let's say, maybe we are desperate for police. I don't believe it for a second after I saw the show yesterday.
Yeah.
Don't believe it for a second. But let's just assume that the mayor is actually partially telling the truth and we need more police officers. Then we could hire more police officers right now. There's no need. You don't need a 9% pay raise to hire police officers today.
That's right.
If he says it takes 18 months to actually get them through the academy and through probation, why do we need a new contract? Just go out and hire some.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, if so the solution that the mayor has proposed does not fix the problem that the mayor has identified.
Doesn't even address it.
Doesn't address it at all. Ashley has a couple of points.
I have a slightly different take on that. I mean, the way that the mayor has framed this and the HR has framed it is that Portland Police Bureau is one of the lowest entry-level paying forces, so in the state. So they're saying that Portland Police is not competitive with other agencies because the starting pay is so low. Whether that's true or not is not something I've looked into, but taking them at their word on that, the fact is that the mayor negotiated this contract mid-contract,
yes.
So in the middle of the existing contract, and he did not include the oversight issues that the community has been pushing for many, many years.
Or the settlement agreement identified needed to be fixed.
Right, and the bottom line is that should have been bargained for in this, and I don't believe that the mayor even attempted to bargain for some of these issues like IPR, authority over investigations, and the ability to compel. And in addition, they put in some terms regarding mandatory bargaining over when and whether officers get to review video camera footage before being subjected to an investigation or giving a statement about an incident. And so we're in a difficult position because the city has put us in a difficult position.
Yes.
And even if you take as true the public safety issues or the challenges in hiring new officers, the fact is that the mayor shouldn't get to make that policy behind closed doors and then ask the community for approval after the fact when we've been pushing for those changes that he didn't even bother to try and push for.
Yes. Where's the reform agenda? Where's the accountability agenda?
Right.
And if the problem is entry-level officers, why not just increase the pay of entry-level officers? Why do we need this 3% across the board? Why not just and you could do that through a legislative action without opening the contract up at all.
I'm not sure that that is possible.
Really?
I actually don't know. I think usually with collective bargaining agreements, the terms of new hires and what the pay rates are set by the collective bargaining agreement. So, you know,
because all the senior people are impacted
right,
by that.
Right.
So if we just need officers, they should go out and recruit them. But I don't think you can recruit officers to a dysfunctional police force. And I think currently we have a dysfunctional police force. Since Chief O'Day was forced out. We have Mike Marshman, who is now, even though he's the police chief, we have a new mayor that has publicly said he's going to do a national search. So we don't know how long Mike Marshman will be in that position. And so why would we tie the hands of the next police chief and the next police commissioner to actually really implement a reform contract?
Yeah, I mean, to go back to the caller's question about what's the ask to City Hall, I think it's talking to other commissioners, too, as well. I think Mayor Hales has taken his position. He's going to stick with it. He wants this to pass. It's talking to other commissioners about your position on the contract, that it needs to slow down and to revisit these accountability and oversight issues, which include IPR ability to investigate in-custody deaths, IPR ability to compel officer testimony. And that's not to say that those affirmative provisions need to be in the collective bargaining agreement, but there are provisions in the current collective bargaining agreement that need to be taken out for IPR to be able to exercise that kind of authority. So the request to City Hall, the request to the county commissioners would be to bargain for a collective bargaining agreement that allows additional oversight practices beyond which is the and to remove the prohibitions that currently exist in the contract.
Right. They'll make it harder to hold police accountable than the current system does, right?
Right.
We gave you a lot.
Yeah, no.
So you can pick and choose.
What I'm trying to understand is what is fixable by public outcry at this moment?
Well, I mean, I think the major message is let the we cannot hold him accountable for this contract. So let's allow the mayor that we can hold accountable the opportunity to create the vision for an accountable police force. This emergency, this alleged emergency, it's not that big a problem, because clearly crime is down. Clearly we had 60 officers that could hang out at City Hall yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, we need to do better decisions about how we deploy officers. We should take them out of the public schools, for example. If we need officers on the street, let's take those school resource officers and put them on the street. They have no business in middle schools and elementary schools or high schools. They should be officers on the street. They should not be in the schools trying to interact with our children. So that's a whole team of police officers already trained, already under Portland Police Bureau, that could be deployed on the street today.
And whose decisions are those? Are those the police department's decisions to make where those officers get stationed?
Yes,
that's outrageous.
Right, right, absolutely. I mean, and if you knew how the gang enforcement unit operates, and so the gang enforcement unit, when they stop an individual on the street, there are 10 officers in the gang enforcement unit. And so if you're an individual, one officer approaches you, and then you're surrounded by the other 9. Right? And they're all in riot gear.
It's horrible.
And so again, if you're talking about we need more officers, let's disband the gang enforcement unit and let's actually put those 10 police officers on patrol. Right? And so once we start using the police resources that we have in a way that makes sense, right? Because when you have a room full of police officers sitting in the Lovejoy room waiting to see if an outbreak will happen at city council, that's a waste of police resources.
You're not kidding.
Right? So, I mean, I could go on and on and on, but suffice it to say that the city council has not made the case that we are lacking police officers. What we have been lacking is leadership.
Absolutely. And that from the mayor. Is that what you're saying?
From the mayor.
Police commissioner,
yes.
Right?
From the police commissioner.
Right.
You may remember he ran on a police reform platform. Ask him what reforms he's made in the 4 years he's been in office. That's what he ran on.
Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is ask them to not to. Well, anyway, I'm still confused about what to demand from the city council.
Just tell him to table this contract until the next mayor has the ability to influence it with his vision
of
policing in Portland.
Okay. I'll do that. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a fabulous day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Whenever you need to leave, just let me know. Okay. We've had a couple of callers on the line. Good morning, Francis. Welcome to Cable. Hello? Are you there? Hello, hello? Well, go to the next one. Good morning, Jamie. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, Joanne.
Hey, Jamie.
Fabulous program.
Oh, thank
you. I'm going to call the mayor and the commissioners.
Excellent.
And demand that they table the settlement, the ratification of the contract, and encourage everyone to do that. I'm totally about putting pressure, turning up the heat in any way, whether it's occupying City Hall or whether it's calling the commissioners this morning. Do it. And I just want to say, as a person who's been active with the union movement, the labor movement, for decades, that this so-called police union is a fake union, and people who are involved with unions should not be fooled by the fact that they have a collective bargaining process and are supposedly upholding workers' rights. They're not upholding workers' rights. They're maintaining state power, which actually undercuts workers all over the place, especially workers who are trying to assert themselves against employers, but also just young marginalized people on the street. We know that, as you said, the gang task force is deployed to harass, intimidate, humiliate, beat, arrest young black men on a regular basis. They basically carry out a racial profiling project, and and of course when they use force and then we have to figure out a way to compel them to be accountable. I also think we should raise the issue of not only the not more police, but not raise the money, the salaries for police. I mean, we need money. The emergency in this town is not about policing. It's about things like housing,
yes,
and education,
yes,
and jobs.
Yes.
I mean, they're deploying police officers to evict houseless people from these camps.
Yes.
We need to turn that money around and use it to create housing. How do we attack crime? By creating housing and living wage jobs, not by hiring police.
Oh, Jamie, I love you. If you were here, I'd be hugging you right now. Thank you so much for your call.
You bet.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Jamie, for your comments. One comment I do want to make regarding the collective bargaining around the country, you're seeing a lot of communities push back on collective bargaining agreements across the country, all over,
yes,
because there are terms in collective bargaining agreements that are, just like in Portland, this is not unique to Portland, but are blocking effective police accountability, mm-hmm, measures. And police accountability and independent oversight and civilian oversight of police accountability procedures is a public policy issue, mm-hmm, not just a labor issue. And those,
right,
things, there's overlap, there's intersection.
Yes.
But I think we need to be very clear when we're speaking about this, that police oversight, community oversight of police is, mm-hmm, a public policy issue.
Absolutely. And thank goodness we had a police commissioner under Sam Adams who actually thought the public would benefit from sitting in on police contract talks. And because the public had the ability to benefit from those interactions, we got the reforms that I talked about, the evaluations, we got the drug testing. We got that because we were able to sit in. We weren't able to talk. We weren't able to participate in the negotiations, but we were able to see that the issues that the community cared about were discussed and debated and ultimately became part of the contract. When you do this behind closed doors and you only have one side special interest on the table, the question is, who represents the public's interest at those closed door negotiations? And in this case, it certainly was not Mayor Charlie Harrells. Mm-hmm. And to go back to the phone line. Hello, Karen. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning, Joanne. So I've been writing. I wrote to all the police commission. I mean, to all the
city council
on the city council, and I also emailed them. But
thank
I wrote, you know, the snail mail letters too. And I did ask for the contract not to be pushed through now.
Right.
But specifically, I also asked for some things I've learned from listening to you on the radio and elsewhere. I asked for changing militaristic police culture.
Yes.
The one that has sensitivity training for just, equitable, and respectful treatment of people of color, LGBT folks, and other marginalized groups, including mentally ill people.
Yes.
And I asked for officer training in conflict resolution and awareness of cultural oppression and system-wide racial bias.
Yes.
Yeah, I did talk a little bit about the CRC and the COAB, but just in very simplistic terms, and I mentioned both policy and contract because I'm a little confused about the differences, and I frankly think we don't have to know all the detail.
No, we don't.
In order to demand that citizen criteria be developed for police hires and rehires.
Yes.
So I think the more that we say, the more that they hear from us. I agree with you that sometimes I go to the demonstrations, but I also work with the NAACP and to try to get institutional change. But the more pressure they get, and the more spotlight we can shine on what they're doing, the less they will be able to be egregious in what they're doing to us.
That's right, because quite frankly, if we'd have just listened to the mayor's word, we would have thought this contract was only about getting more officers on the street. But what we find, because some of us actually take the time to read the 59-page contract to see what the details are. Because as you know, the devil's always in the details.
Yes.
And when you read the details, you find out that no one was representing the public's view around accountability. No
right.
one in these negotiations thought about what would the public want in an accountable police force. And so that's why this contract has to be tabled. That's why, because quite frankly, here's what would happen. If this contract passed, the city council would say, it's not our fault. The mayor negotiated that contract. We just had to support it because we needed more police officers. The next mayor will say, it's not my fault. The last mayor negotiated this contract. I can't do anything for 4 years, right?
You're so right.
Meanwhile, this will be in stone in a contract. And so when the next mayor has the chance 4 years later, guess what? The police will say, oh, no, that's in stone. You can't change that.
Right.
And so
thank you so much, Joanne, for all that you're doing.
Thank you. I hope what we're doing is helping the public understand this isn't complicated. This is about accountability. It's about accountability from our mayor, from our city council, and from our police department.
And citizen input.
Yes. And community input is vital.
That's right.
Thank you. Have a great day. 503-231-8187. Good morning, Nancy. Welcome to KBOO. Hello.
Thanks for all. Can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay. So thanks for all your work on this for so many years as state legislator as well.
Thank you.
And, I do want to point out the point of view of this mayor has been very clear from the very start when the citizens group was forced by the judge, federal judge, that the settlement should solve some of these very critical issues in
yes.
our community and
yes.
people's suffering. And as soon as we got a firm decision from one of our proposals, he started reacting just the opposite.
That's right.
And making it very difficult for the citizens that did all that work for an entire year, volunteer hours and hours and hours of work, great input, and has not fulfilled, except for the possibly a 48-hour rule, which is minimal compared to everything that should be done.
Right.
And he is more and more acting out before he leaves office. And it is very destructive to the community. It's not healthy for the community. Money is being spent left and right, millions of dollars.
That's right.
And to developers that are not necessarily doing socially correct activities. And we're wondering, what is the mayor covering up? Why the rush?
Yes.
I'm seriously worried about this because I took on Enron and I proved my point.
Mm-hmm.
It was loaded with crooks. I want to ask Mayor Hale, in his own heart, why is he in such a hurry when we have the right to have some kind of civility in our living daily lives? When
That's
we're
right.
working hard just to stay above the float of extra city taxes. That's my question.
That's a great question, and I hope you will contact the mayor and the other city council members. I mean, clearly, I think that Hales has blinders on, but I believe that the rest of the city council should be held accountable because they will still be on the city council, even though, or at least some of them will be, but the mayor will be gone. And so if we allow this contract to be ratified, then we, the public, will have no recourse on holding police accountable. Have they not seen the video footage all over the country showing police officer aggressively killing and beating up community members with no accountability? Why would we want them to be able to view camera footage before they write a report? That is absolutely ludicrous. Why would a mayor negotiate that without a policy on body cams? Ludicrous. Thank you so much, Nancy. I appreciate all your work. You've been a strong voice for a lot of years, and we just have to keep at it. What's the
That's
alternative?
Right. Okay, bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye. Good morning, Celeste. Welcome to KBOO.
Oh, hi, Joanne.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, my brother and I have been going to the CRC meetings
mm-hmm.
just because we feel that's our outlet to this contract business.
Yes.
And, I mean, the contract is terrible. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
And there's no reason why we have to do it now. I was reading the report of the incident that they were reviewing.
Yes.
And without a doubt, I knew that the guy had to be black.
Mm.
He had to have been profiled.
Mm-hmm.
They triggered the stop because he stayed too long at a flashing red light.
What
kind of crime is that?
Whoa.
And then he got to his destination and he pulled into park and they said no, they pulled him over for a traffic violation because he didn't signal. And I'm just going, my God, this is pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the one thing the police are totally afraid of is public input.
Yes.
In that contract, they don't want our input until it's all over.
They don't want public accountability, right?
No,
they
no,
want
they
to
don't.
Decide whether they're guilty or not.
I know.
Right.
And, you know, I'm so dead set against this thing.
Well, I am so glad that you went to the CRC because, you know, the mayor's last proposal that came in front of city council was to put this, combine the CRC with the police review board and take the public ability to participate out.
Yeah.
Right?
We would be completely eliminated.
That's right.
And very few CRC members would be involved. It might be a one or two person.
Exactly.
Involved.
So the and chance of diversity, the chance of people with different lived experiences serving on that committee would be nil.
Oh, you're right.
Yes.
Totally right.
And that's why this mayor has done more to set accountability back than any of the previous four mayors. My words. As I look at this contract and where he's trying to push us, this will be a severe step backwards. So thank you so much for your call. Thank you for going to the CRC meetings. Some of those meetings are as boring as they could possibly be.
Sometimes they are, but I really appreciate everyone who shows up.
I think that's
very important.
Me too. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Okay, bye.
Have a great day. Hi, V. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for your service. I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you.
So one of my concerns, I'm just going to, with breakneck speed, hopefully get into this conversation. One of my concerns about the speed with which the city council and the mayor are making this decision is that we're not able to, we, as in the Community Oversight Advisory Board, but moreover the public, isn't able to substantively agree that they've been involved in the process of making this PPA contract happen.
Right.
And the reason why I think this is so important in many ways is because of the demographics of Portland. When we looked at the Communities of Color report a couple of years ago, with Julia Meyer as the ED, I think the population of communities of color is something like 45%.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So then we look at the recent social equity plan that's been passed by Multnomah County, where in order to lead transformative change, not only in the communities but in the government, they're saying we're going to use this social equity lens. And so that means that fair and just distribution of resources and opportunities for individuals, culturally specific business, social systems that are sustainable and that sustain all people.
Right.
And it also means meaningful engagement of communities of color in planning, decision making, and evaluation that supports shifts in perception, paradigm, and demonstrated values. Authentically embodying and leading with racial equity and empowerment principles, and then bold and courageous long-term commitment to unearthing racism's root causes and addressing barriers to racial equality in and between individuals, institutions, and systems.
So, V, well, I'm going to have to stop you there because we're just about out of time. But it sounds like all those components are missing.
That's right. That's my point. Thank you, Joanne.
Yeah.
And it's scary if we look down the road. What
yes.
does that mean? What kind of garden are we growing? Right.
Right.
What's
going to
be our harvest?
A same old, nothing's changed. The faces will change, but the policy and the systemic issues will remain. Thank you, V, for your call. The program is over in like 30 seconds. Have a great day. Hello, Lewis. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning. You've got 30 seconds.
Thanks very much. I just want to say it's been a very insightful program, so thank you for that. And I would just advocate also for people who want to call their commissioners that they ask the question, why would you be opposed to implementing best practices?
Yes.
Because this current contract simply doesn't have that. And I think it's absurd that citizen groups have had to fight for years, and you've led some of those, Joanne,
yes.
to get just fundamental, basic practices in place.
Exactly.
And So I'll leave it at that. But
thank you so much. And that is a perfect segue to end the program. I thank you all. My understanding is that the Portland Police Association contract will be on the Portland City Council agenda today at 1 p.m. I don't know whether they're going to allow the public to testify, but I encourage the public to show up. I encourage the public to demand their voice be heard. And I hope to see you all at Portland City Hall at 1 p.m. today. I am Joanne Hardesty. I want to thank our engineer, John, for just making us sound as good as always. Thank my guest, Ashley Albies, who had to slip out. And I will see you all next week. Same time, same place, same station. And I hope you have a fabulous, fabulous day.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up.
KBOO Portland, good morning. It's 8:59. Coming up, Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell.
You know you love KBOO's programming, but did you know you can help inform decisions about new programs on KBOO, support evaluating shows to ensure programming excellence, as well as help process feedback about shows from our listeners? Well, you can when you join the KBOO Programming Advisory Committee. All you need to be is a KBOO member. Attend monthly meetings on the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. at KBOO and commit 5 hours a month to work on committee-related tasks. The Programming Advisory Committee works alongside KBOO programming staff to live out our programming charter. You can find out more at kboo.fm/committees. See you the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. KBOO needs you.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Good morning. It's 9 o'clock in Cass.